2237.
Oh, boy, do we have a great show in store for you. I hate when people preview their upcoming hour and say that, but I have to say it. We've got a writer on from the New York Times. I think he's one of the best writers in the country. He covers horse racing, but he also has an interesting new book out that's already debuted at 26 on the New York Times bestseller list. So how about that? Plus, we're going to talk with Jeff Atticott, once again, terrorism expert, who was just in Washington advising the FBI on some terror techniques. We'll get his reaction on what's happening with the CIA and Dick Cheney's reaction the other day, where he said it offended the hell out of him, that, in fact, Eric Holder, the attorney general, appoints a special prosecutor and decides to go back and look into the techniques that were used by the CIA right after 9/11, like on guys like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, one of the masterminds of what happened on that horrible day. Speaking of that day, the anniversary of September 11th, 2001 is coming up. So it's been decided by the president that the thing to do would have a day of service. We'll see how you feel about that. And Obama's ratings continue to drop. He's in the 40s now. The Rasmussen poll pegs it at that. It's the daily tracking system. I'll give you the hardcore numbers. You can decide on your own. Plus, give me a break, Tom Ridge. We talked about this last week. Now he has the new book out. So you have to have something salacious to throw out there so everybody will want to read about it. Well, the former Homeland Security Secretary has decided to reverse course somewhat. He spoke publicly for the first time, and he kind of waffled on that idea that he was pressured to raise the terror alert level, that it was about politics. He kind of backpedaled on that. I'll also give you the skinny there. I think the scariest thing that came out of Ridge speaking wasn't the fact that he so much backpedaled on the pressure thing, which was ridiculous because everybody came out and said, well, that's not true. I was in those meetings. I don't remember that. Rumsfeld said, I don't know what he's talking about. We never told him to do that. And so now, of course, that's where he starts to swim in a different pool. I think the scariest thing that came out, and I think it was even printed in the USA Today, is the fact that still our government has no way to track foreign visitors who don't leave the country when their visas expire. Because, of course, two of the 9/11 hijackers were in the country on expired visas. So what good is a policy? What good is a visa if you have no way to find out if people left the country or not when they were supposed to leave the country? That seems a little ass backwards, doesn't it? So I did learn that, thanks to Tom Ridge. I had no idea. I thought that policy had been fixed. And you may have seen it, too, if you picked up the USA Today, because I think that's where I saw it reprinted. This probably isn't a surprise. General McChrystal says we need a new plan in Afghanistan. You think? You think? What exactly is that new plan? We're going to talk about it in one of the four fat hours we have going on here on America tonight. But first, right from the get-go, Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick announced today that the special election to fill Ted Kennedy's Senate seat is going to be held in January. I mean, you knew he was going to say that. He was going to say there was going to be a special election and they'd figure out when the primaries were and all that sort of stuff. But the big bad question that all of us want to know is, will there be somebody appointed in the interim? Here's what the gov of Massachusetts said.
In addition to losing a great political leader and friend, his passing leaves a big gap in our congressional delegation. Under our law, it is up to the people of Massachusetts to fill it in a special election. So today, in accordance with my responsibility under Massachusetts law, I am designating Tuesday, January 19, 2010, as the date of the special election. Massachusetts voters will have their opportunity to fill this Senate vacancy. Later today, Secretary of State William Galvin will issue a calendar listing the applicable dates and deadlines for the events leading up to the special election, including the primary date. He'll put that up on his website before the end of today. I encourage the voters of our Commonwealth to participate in choosing our next United States Senator, and I join with them in looking forward to a robust and substantive campaign. In the meantime, without the modest change that Senator Kennedy himself proposed, Massachusetts will not be fully represented in the United States Senate. Now, let me be clear. I wholly support the special election and the democratic process to fill the remaining 2 years of Senator Kennedy's term. But I will continue to work with the legislature on legislation authorizing an interim appointment to the United States Senate for the 5 months until that special election happens.
Wow, what a bombshell, huh? Of course, it was thought that this was going to happen. The governor's Democrat, Ted Kennedy, was pushing for health care reform. It's a major vote needed to stop a filibuster if you look at 60 in the Senate. So here's what happened. September 9th, there's actually a meeting. This happens in Massachusetts, a public hearing, where they'll listen to what the people have to say about this whole thing, because this is certainly controversial. Play with me here for a second, and I'll explain if you don't know this. By going with an appointment, this blows in the face of what happened, because Democrats were the ones who initially established the special election system back in 2004. And why did they do that in Massachusetts? Because that's when Senator John Kerry was running for president and Mitt Romney, a Republican, was governor. So he was in the position to appoint his successor. So they hurried up to make sure there was a special election system in place so that wouldn't happen, so they could theoretically, let's talk politics, block the Republicans, right? Now you're talking about doing the reverse of that after throwing the snowballs at the GOP. So here's the deal. It's going to leave a serious bad taste, I would say, in voters' mouths if they do that. But I think they're going to do it. I think they're going to try to advance this ball as far as they can, especially knowing that with Ted Kennedy gone and now the service is over, all that stuff, they're going to play hardball with the Kennedy name, saying this is all about Teddy and everybody loved him. Orrin Hatch loved him. Lindsey Graham loved him. I mean, we got a bunch of Republicans that love this guy. Are you kidding me? We can't put his name on this bill. We can't advance this. We've done it before. Why can't we do it now? And that would be a Democrat in place of Kennedy. So there, again, is your 60. We'll see what happens on the 9th, because that's right after the Labor Day holiday. I'm sure that the place will be packed and people will be obviously expressing either their desire for that not to happen or the push for it to happen, knowing that Massachusetts is extremely liberal, obviously. Not that there aren't any conservatives, but it's, for the most part, liberal and very democratic. The push would be to say, yeah, let's go ahead and do this. Coming up later, I already told you a bunch of things we're going to do, but add this one to the pile. How about this new study that an aspirin a day might not actually be that good for you? You know, I started taking aspirins because I was told it was a good thing to do, like, what, a year and a half ago? That's why you never should listen to some of the things that are reported. Unless it's on this show, of course. Jeff Atticott, terrorism expert, next, Round the Bend.
Wow. All I can say is wow. Times are changing fast. Scary needles. Laws changing until pretty soon it'll be against the law to grow a tomato plant. How does this fit into healthcare? I'm not sure, but I am sure that Life Change Tea will give attention to your health. Good health. Join the many that have made the change just by drinking our all-natural tea. Lose weight, detoxify, and get energy. Call now at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Or you can order online at getthetea.com. It doesn't come any easier. GetTheTea.com. Oh, yeah, and right now is our semi-annual special underway. It won't last long, so order now while you still can. order at GetTheTea.com.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
Did you know many vitamin and mineral supplements on the market are made from rocks and ground-up shells? Think about that. Would you swallow a handful of shells you found at the beach? Our body wasn't designed to digest rocks and shells. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman, formulator of Choose for Health, a delicious-tasting, chewable dietary supplement derived from 16 fruits, vegetables, and antioxidants. Unlike hard-to-digest pills, Choose for Health is a convenient chewable which allows for better digestion. The choice is yours. Swallow rocks and shells to supplement your diet or a natural chewable product you can better digest. Choose for Health, the world's first superfruit, sea vegetable, antioxidant chewable. Whole food nutrition, not rocks and shells. 1-800-210-1922. Call now and receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. 1-800-210-1922. Or go to orderchoose.com.
This is America Tonight. Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney, thanks for joining us coast to coast and everywhere in between. Of course, over the weekend, former VP Dick Cheney said investigating the CIA interrogations was a political move. And, you know, I agree with that. We talked about it a ton on our last show. The big question is what's next and actually how is this going to be meted out? Will anybody see a criminal prosecution as a result of this, you know, actually do some time? Can you imagine? I heard, because I have a pretty good source, the CIA, that it's not a joke. The morale is really, really down. And a lot of guys are on pins and needles, and they're upset to be put back in this position thinking, okay, look, we're trying to play by the rules, and we're dancing in the gray zone. What are you doing to us? Who better to have on ATM? We love it when this guy joins us. Terrorism expert Professor Jeff Atticott. He's the director of the Center for Terrorism Law at St. Mary's University School of Law. Jeff, thanks for coming back on the show.
No, it's always a pleasure.
Hey, the first thing I'll ask you is Dick Cheney over the weekend. I'll tell you what, I loved his, the quote I really liked, and I said this earlier, is when he said, you know, it offends the hell out of me. I think it is offensive what's happening. After the president said, look, let's not go backwards, let's move forward. And that's what we need to do here. Let's not go back into the past. So why this big reversal? It's all on Eric Holder is what they're saying.
Well, yeah, you know, Eric Holder is supposed to be neutral and detached as the attorney general. But anybody that believes that is living in Never Never Land. Of course, they're joined at the hip. I haven't seen a closer relationship between the president and the attorney general since JFK had his brother, you know, appointed as the Attorney General Robert Kennedy. And there's no way that Holder's going to be moving forward on this issue without the explicit approval of President Barack Obama. There's no question about that. And I do think you're correct on one thing. I mean, it's curious that this is coming at a time when the president's approval ratings by all measurements are below 50% from a drop of 70-something percent down to, you know, 42 if you look at the Zogby poll today. And it's wagged the tail, in my opinion. He's trying to distract, divert attention from his failed ideas about health care and spending and his approval ratings and get that off and go back to the, you know, blame Bush campaign slogan that worked so well during the campaign.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. I mean, I'll ask you this again. We've talked about this before. And in all honesty, I get kind of a split reaction to this. I've talked to people that work for the CIA that have been involved in interrogations, and they tell me, absolutely, there you have to do certain things in interrogations, and they have gotten important information that has possibly stopped the wheels of some terroristic activity that could happen in the United States. Then there are others that say, well, no, that's not true. It's more good cop, bad cop, and, you know, stripping someone naked or playing loud music or waterboarding them, all of that doesn't work. You're an expert in this field, and especially in the legal area of it. What do you think?
Torture does work. I mean, there's no question about it. Those that say that torture doesn't work are disoriented to the issue. You people will talk under stress. In Vietnam, we informed our soldiers that you're going to be tortured if you're captured. You should resist to the best of your ability. But we realized that at some point, all of our soldiers were going to break, and they were going to tell whatever they knew. But the real question from my perspective, is from a legal perspective, is did we violate the torture convention? All these enhanced interrogation techniques took place in 2003, 2004. From that time forward, Congress and the courts have passed a series of laws that have stripped us of doing any type of interrogation. Today, we're at the point where if we want to interrogate someone, we have to ask their permission first, for example, in Guantanamo Bay. If they say no, that's it. We cannot engage in what's called degrading or humiliating treatment, which we've interpreted to be, even to the extent of handing them the Koran, would be considered to be degrading because our infidel hands touched it. So that's where we're at today. But in 2004, these bizarre restrictions were not in place, and we interpreted the torture convention with very careful legal memorandums that were put out by the Department of Justice. And in those memorandums, we looked at existing laws like the Ireland versus UK case and determined that the techniques that we approved, the waterboarding would be the worst, did not constitute torture. I agree with that position. I testified before the subcommittee of the Senate about a month and a half ago that was correct. And, of course, they didn't want to hear that. So I suggested to them, if you believe that waterboarding is torture, Article 12 of the convention says you must prosecute. So let's stop all the political grandstanding and this political piñata game and prosecute. But, you know, they don't want to prosecute. They want to, quote-unquote, investigate and drag this out and drag this out and drag this out.
Yeah, so then if the investigation, then that's the idea, like you said, it's a good distraction measure because you can just keep doing that. You can trot different people out, little things leak out, stuff starts to come out, whatever. It's exaggerated or not exaggerated, and it becomes a big game that can be played out for a very long time, maybe for a whole year, who knows.
Oh, absolutely. This has been rehashed now for the 10th time by the Democrats since, 2006. It's the same old song over and over and over again. Now, there is a case in California in federal district court where John Woo, one of the individuals that wrote some of the legal memorandums, is being sued by, of all people, Jose Padilla, who's in prison for his participation with Al-Qaeda. And that case is a lawsuit that's going forward individually, but clearly from a political standpoint, when you've got the President of the United States at one point saying, no, we're going to move on, they did the best they could, and then doing a 180 just 2 months later, it's very, very curious. And again, in my opinion, if you look at 2004 and what the legal standards were at that time, we did not violate the torture convention. We didn't violate American law. But of course today, as I said, we're at the point where anything that we do to any detainee would violate some new law that we put into place. As I said, the standard now is we can't engage in degrading or humiliating treatment. Back in 2004, we could use stress and duress tactics. We did use those tactics, and we gained, if you look at the CIA memos that were released, valuable information that led to the breakup of other terrorist plots.
Yeah, so how scary is that then? And moving forward, basically we handed them the playbook anyway. When I say they, Al-Qaeda or Taliban, et cetera, whoever. And that means moving forward, as you keep saying, Jeff, that certainly, I would think, weakens the United States' position if torture works, right?
Yeah, I mean, it does work. But again, my point is, we never tortured anybody. It just didn't happen because we were one step ahead of the changing law, and as the standards got lower and lower of what we could do, our interrogations got weaker and weaker. But that's my objection. When you use the word torture, it rolls off the tongue really easily. But under the law, even waterboarding does not constitute torture as we did it in 2004. And now, of course, the lesser techniques, stress and duress, humiliating, degrading, we can't do those things anymore that we did in 2004, 2003. Now, we have had individual soldiers and interrogators in their individual capacity that have violated the law, that have committed murder on detainees, that have really tortured detainees. And those cases should be investigated if they were done by the CIA. And those individuals should be prosecuted, as we did with the folks at Abu Ghraib, and they should be put in jail. And that's a separate issue, and many people will point to a case or two where a soldier did murder, did torture, real torture, and they say, see, the administration is murdering and torturing people, and when you ask them, what's your example, they would say Abu Ghraib. No, that's an example that you're not a deep thinker. Those are individuals in their individual capacity, and if we were treating them as heroes, we'd give them medals, but they're in, a detention facility in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas today because they violated the law. So that has occurred, and if the Obama administration wants to pursue, scrub all the detention issues and look for people that have done those things, and that's some of the photos that were, that Obama was going to release at one point and then decided not to,
right,
because those were photos of people that had violated the law.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I mean, you hit the nail on the head, obviously. We'll see. If I was John Woo, I would be furious. My hair would be on fire. And I'm sure many, and that's what I've heard too, that people are just can't believe that this is now coming up, and who knows what kind of a dog and pony show it'll be. Jeff, we'll talk to you again down the road.
Yes, ma'am. My pleasure.
Thank you. Jeff Atticott, always adding a lot to the show, I think. And as I said, he is a terrorism expert. You heard what he had to say about the legal side of it. And that's the key in talking about prosecutions. It's the letter of the law. Where were we at that particular time? Which has been hashed and rehashed, as he said, so much that going back, let's be honest, also you're wasting taxpayers' money, because guess what? You and I fund this. If there is a year-long investigation, it comes out of tax dollars. What was that number we said about the deficit? Something like $9 trillion? No wonder why we're in the situation we're in. Just let's throw money at things that shouldn't be investigated. It makes no sense, especially if you're going to come up with nobody in the end, which is what it looks like to me, and obviously it does to Professor Atticott as well. On the flip side, Joe Drape from the New York Times joins us. He has a cool new book out. We're going to tell you all about it. Stay with us.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 989-637-4179. That's 989-637-4179. Be a part of the revolution today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two Sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home, paycheck, and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. We also provide mortgage modification services, which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure problems, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123 today.
For years, doctors and researchers have known that one of the major pathways to better health is an alkaline diet rich in minerals and antioxidants to keep the body in proper pH balance. For 15 years, people have trusted AlkaZone, the simplest way of keeping the body in pH balance, getting rid of acidic waste buildup, and boosting the immune system through antioxidant support. AlkaZone's unique formula contains potassium, magnesium, calcium, zinc, and the antioxidant selenium, along with 79 trace minerals from ancient marine deposits. Unlike other products, AlkaZone is odorless and tasteless and can be added to any beverage to offset its acidity. AlkaZone also manufactures antioxidant water fountains that will both filter and raise the pH of the tap water in your home to a pH of 10. To learn more and to place your order for a 45-day supply for only $25, visit AlkaZone.com. That's A-L-K-A-Zone.com. Use coupon code RADIO and receive a limited-time discount. Call AlkaZone today at 1-800-810-1888. That's 1-800-810-1888.
America tonight. Really excited about our next guest. I hope he's had a lot of coffee. He probably has weird hours, though. You know, he's one of the best writers, I think, for the New York Times. He is the master when it comes to horse racing. And we're going to talk about a new book that he has out that has nothing to do with horse racing, but it's incredible. You'd be riveted to this book if you get it. I'm not going to spoil the surprise because first I've got to nail him about something that happened this past weekend. Without further ado, from the New York Times, my pal Joe Drape. Joe, how are you?
Kate, it's always a pleasure to be on with you. And how are you?
I'm excellent. We have a special little tribute for you. Can we load her up, guys, back in Minnesota? You've only heard that probably, I don't know, 1,000 times in your life?
Yeah, and I'm like a horse back in the barn there. My head sticks out, and I look left and right, and I'm ready to run.
All right, so the Travers this past weekend, I have to ask about this. Summer Bird wins 3.5 lengths on this one. Same horse, obviously, for people who don't know, that won the Belmont. You weren't surprised by this, right?
No, he's a very good horse, and this is a very good crop of three-year-olds. And, you know, he did what his daddy did. He won the Belmont and followed it up with the Travers. That's Birdstone's his daddy. The Super Filly, Rachel Alexander, won in there. She's running this week. And, you know, this is a good crop of three-year-olds, Kate, and I know you're a horse player.
Yeah, but what's next that's big? What are we looking forward on the horizon? Because, you know, it's always the spring where we're pumped up. We can't help it. It's the Triple Crown and all that, you know, the Kentucky Derby. So what's next that's big and hot and juicy on the docket? Breeders?
The Breeders' Cup, that's it. That's all that's left. It's November 6th and 7th. The best horses from around the world are running out at Santa Anita on synthetics, which brings more Europeans in. And it really is two great days of racing, and it's moving up in stature because of the synthetics, because of the new stringent drug rules. I can't wait to get to Santa Anita in November.
Oh, yeah. You're so lucky. So you get to go to all these great places, and you get to partake in all the eating of the foods of the various cities that you get to travel to.
Absolutely. I'm in Kansas City right now, and I've been eating barbecue for the last 2 days, so it's the greatest thing in the world, and this is the barbecue capital of the world.
Yeah, I agree with you, too, by the way. Texans think that they have it, and in North Carolina they think so, too, but out of their barbecue I can't even eat. So I don't.
This is great meat, great sauce, succulent, cooked just right. This is, and I am a Kansas City native, but this is the best barbecue in the world.
Thanks for making us hungry. So you have this book out called Our Boys, A Perfect Season on the Plains with the Smith Center, Redmond. It's on the New York Times bestseller list, debuting at number 26. You'd be pretty happy about that, eh?
I'm thrilled. I'm over the moon, Kate. And, you know, I've been in this business a long time, and, you know, the story has matched my personal experience and matched its success. I moved to Smith Center, Kansas, which is smack dab in the middle of America, continental U.S., last year with my wife and my three-year-old. And ostensibly, it was to look at this high school team. They've won 67 games in a row, football, most in the nation, five straight championships. But what had intrigued me is I had gone there for the Times in 2007 and did a story about them. And their coach, the first thing he said to me was like, "This isn't about football. This is about raising kids, and this is what we do very well right here. And we do it so well that our kids go to Denver, Kansas City, Dallas. They become doctors and lawyers, and some of them come back and some don't." And, you know, I had my three-year-old boy at the time. I'm from Kansas City. I'm a Midwesterner. And it really got a yearning in me to go home and to be a better parent and learn. You know, we all need help with this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I believed him when he went there. And sure enough, we went back there, and it was really the most profound, rewarding personal and professional experience I've ever had. This is a town of 1900, Kate. The nearest McDonald's or Walmart's 90 miles away. You know, we're talking grain elevators and combines and hard farmers. I was blown away the first time I got there was during wheat harvest, and it was all hands on deck. You know, if you're a lawyer in Omaha and daddy calls you home, you come with all your kids, and the whole family, 6 to 80, are driving grain carts, bringing the harvest in because, you know, 15 minutes of hail ruins your whole crop. So it really was a learning experience here, and I had a great time.
Yeah, so, and I read the book, and it's not just about high school football, though it reminded me of parts of it, obviously, like the book Friday Night Lights, and, of course, the town just embracing this team and the whole idea of football, but it centers around their life. It centers around the family, as you just so eloquently described. And Coach Barta, what was he like? What was he like in, I mean, you could see that through the pages, but what was it like to hang out with Coach Barta?
You know, it was a privilege because Coach Barta looks like the actor Wilford Brimley, big walrus mustache. He never talked about winning or losing. He never raised his voice. And it was being with a guy who has wisdom and who is a teacher. And he is a teacher. He's done it for, you know, 40 years. And it was just powerful to see how you shape young boys into men. And he leads. He doesn't push. You know, he told me that it wasn't about football, and he was absolutely right. The first half hour, 45 minutes of every practice was a team meeting where it would be, okay, guys, it's the first day of school. I want you to go in and look your teacher in the eye, shake his or her hand, introduce yourself, because first impressions mean everything. The first dance, he'd say, guys, I want you to treat these young women like the ladies that they are. And, you know, it was all about building the whole man. You know, his philosophy was very simple, Kate. He said, look, somebody in here is the best football player. Somebody in here is the worst. Let's get over that. Let's respect each other. Because once you respect each other, you learn to like each other. And once you learn to like each other, you learn to love each other. And that is when together we become champions. You know, it was simple, powerful stuff. And I always felt like I was next to a guy who just had this presence and had this really easy message, but told it very powerfully.
What was it like for your family? You know, you go back and you're there for a year for your wife. You mentioned your three-year-old. All of a sudden, boom, plop, here we are, and we're the newbies in town. And I guess everybody knew who you were after a short time, because you weren't somebody that grew up there, and they would ask you, I'm sure, who you were. What was that like getting to know the people there?
You know, Kansas, you're down in Texas. I've been in Texas. I've been throughout the South. They have a very overt warmness and welcoming. The people of the plains of Kansas are very nice people, but they are very much reserved. And, you know, they were suspicious. I came from New York City to write a book about them. But first day I'm there, they're dropping tomatoes and cucumbers off. They're inviting me to fish fries. You know, they're welcoming us into their home. So we got off to the right foot there. It was a matter of building trust. Now, my wife is a Chicago native. She's been blessed and had a great career selling advertising for 25 years, but she wanted to come home too. You know, what we miss, Kate, and what having Jack, I mean, Jack loved it. What having Jack reminded us of is we grew up in a community where you left in the morning and you came back after dark, and everybody knew the Drake boys. You know, my mom would say, hey, it's a small town, act like it, because if you act up, I'm going to hear about it. Well, in Manhattan, I mean, just by dint of the size of it, Jack's always within an arm's length of us. You know, you can't turn him loose in the streets.
Right.
When we'd come back to Kansas City to my brother's house, he'd walk out in the yard and he'd say, look, Uncle Tom has a park, because, you know, that was grass to him, was always a park. And you know, we wanted to kind of recapture our youth and give him what we grew up with. And he just blossomed. We took a toddler from Manhattan down there, and he came back a boy. I mean, the best memories that I'm ever going to have from there is picking him up at preschool every day and him running out and saying, Dad, are we going to go to practice? Yes, we are. And we drive 15 miles back to the practice field, and he'd pop out of the car and would be gone, playing with his water boy buddies, you know, fake tackling, playing with grasshoppers. I mean, it was terrific stuff.
Yeah, terrific, terrific book. Congratulations. And continued success with it. Our Boys, a perfect season on the plains with the Smith Center Redmond. What's next, Joe Drape? You're going to do another book?
You know, books find you, Kate. You really can't plan on those. I mean, I'm here in Kansas. I'm going to go see the Redmond play Friday. We're going to reconnect with all our friends. We were there a couple weeks ago, and it was great. You know, this really is a place that believes it takes a village to raise a child. So I'm going to go finish this out, and then I'm going to go back to work just like you go back to work. I am going to cover some horses. I'm going to cover some colleges. I'm going to just try to keep making a living in this great big world of ours.
I love how you said that. All right, Joe, we look forward to talking to you again here on America Tonight. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me. Good luck, huh?
All right, you too. Joe Drape, you got to read his stuff. I'll tell you, if you're a horse racing fan, there is none better in the game. And obviously, that book, I read it with, I guess it took me 2 days. And I don't think it would have taken me 2 days, except for that I had to stop for something I had to go to. McChrystal, what does he say, our general, about what's up in Afghanistan? We'll tell you about it around the bend.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Hi, Ed Schultz here. I want to tell you about BioGreenClean.com. BioGreenClean. It is absolutely the first heavy-duty, all-natural, multi-purpose cleaner that outperforms all competitive cleaners. BioGreenClean is the product. It's tough enough to take on virtually any cleaning challenge, yet gentle enough for your baby's toys. That's right. BioGreenClean is plant-derived and contains no harmful chemicals, solvents, and no annoying fragrances. If you want spectacular and unprecedented results from a revolutionary cleaning product, look no further. BioGreenClean is the cleaning product that you've been waiting for. It's that simple. It's super, and it's easy to order. Just go to www.biogreenclean.com. That's www.biogreenclean.com. BioGreenClean.com. BioGreenClean.com. Try it today. You'll be glad you did. BioGreenClean. It cleans anything.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
Mention this at the top of America Tonight, but I've got to dive into this quickly here and give you an update, because this is happening while we're on the air, sadly, folks. The L.A. fire, man, it is so far 53 homes, buildings, boom, done, gone. I mean, L.A. is just smoke. I saw some video of it today, and just before we jumped on the air, you'll see these houses, you know, in a pretty decent neighborhood. We're not talking Beverly Hills, but you figure the people there have to kill themselves to get a house anyway, wherever it is, even if they live in the valley, because it's so ridiculously expensive, and it's all going up in smoke. All those dreams just boom like that, snapped in an instant. 164 square miles, thousands have been forced to evacuate, and some of them are so stubborn they don't want to leave. I know I mentioned this briefly the other day as somebody who saw that happen in a hurricane. People just decide, you know what, I've seen this, I've heard this over and over again, I'm taking my chances. I know what to do. It hits here. I've got a place to go. Don't worry about me. And they'll try to wait it out. I mean, we saw that with Katrina, certainly, that there were people who did that and then ended up on rooftops, and way too many people died as a result. But that was because of the levees and the ridiculousness and the fact that they weren't enforced the way they were supposed to be. But regardless, you still had a lot of people that didn't get out of the way of the hurricane. In Los Angeles, they're finding the same thing. People are trying to stay in their homes or around their homes, thinking they're going to be able to spray the hose on the top of the house. It just doesn't work that way, though. So you have this wide swath, and that's the best word I can use to describe it, because that's exactly what's happened, of this tinder dry area of this forest, and you've just had thousands of people that have had to leave, and unfortunately, because they're not heeding the warnings of these firefighters, and the governor even doing a million television cut-ins, they've decided to stay. They are, it's like they're at the craps table. Should I go or not? Let me see what I'm going to roll. And it's, seriously, it's just like that. It's so close. They'll be running out at the last second trying to, you know, get out of the way. And then sometimes it's too late. I'm surprised there haven't been any people killed other than those firefighters. I mean, that's a blessing, I'll tell you. In the meantime, you have everything that LA media relies on sitting on a mountaintop that could go up any second. We're talking the towers, okay? So you have all these TV stations, all these radio stations, and Los Angeles is a huge media market. It's our number two market in the United States. You know, you might be listening to me in Iowa, or you might be listening to me in Illinois or Florida or Texas or somewhere else, but the way the markets work, of course, it's based on our population. New York, the number one market, obviously. Number two, Los Angeles. And you have everything pretty much in that one area. It goes up, and that's it. It's for all of those broadcasting folks out there. I mean, it is so close, and they're trying to do whatever they can. I mean, they're pushing for this, the weather conditions to change, but only Mother Nature and God can do that, right? So you got these triple-digit temperatures, low humidity, and it doesn't look like it's dying anytime soon. I just checked in with somebody, you know, 10 minutes before we jumped on the air, and you still got that smoke all over the place. You got this white haze seen all over L.A. It's coming over, and this happened the other day. You see it flying over the Hollywood sign. And, you know, see, here's the thing. You get people that are trapped inside canyons and stuff because they're not evacuating. So it's surprising, like I said, and I'll say it again, that nobody has been killed as a result of this. Because what happens is then there's such a panic, you try to send a helicopter in, but you can't get them because you've got this intense fire. So you have to wait till the flames pass. So they can't emphasize these people enough. You've got to get out of danger. Okay, that's where you think of it. This is my house. I put everything into this, but is it worth my life? And the answer is, of course not. You leave, you idiots. You do not stay and try to spray water on the roof of your house when there is fire all around you. But, you know, again, that's what people are doing. When this is all said and done, this may end up being one of the worst fires they've ever seen in that area, because you're getting very few reports of a lot of this being contained. I mean, remember, you'll have with these fires in these forests, they'll call it one area and they'll call one blaze another area, so they'll name them different things. So there are some that are starting to get contained, but there are plenty that are still massively out of control. So it's no doubt that there's a state of emergency in California. I consider this to be a state of emergency in the United States. I think people need to speak up about what's going on in Afghanistan. The top dog, the top commander, and I don't really pin this on General McChrystal, because hey, he was handed this hot potato, what, back in June. So he sent what they would call his strategic review of the Afghan war to the Pentagon. And, you know, he didn't ask for more troops yet, but he's expected to do that in another request. It's kind of like, okay, let's send this one memo off and then let's drop the bomb. So they will ask for more troops, but that's a hot button issue that we know that will ignite a huge debate in D.C. over the future of the military in a war that's unpopular, a war that a lot of people don't even realize is going on. And a lot of people are pushing for a timeline. When are you going to draw down troops? When is that going to happen? You know, we're talking a decade. A decade. McChrystal, supposedly in his report, says that there has to be something to show the American people, but also people of the other countries that are helping the operation, because many of them want to pull out. So what, here's what they do next. The Secretary of Defense does a 60-day review. So with this deteriorating security situation in Afghanistan, with the Taliban attacks on the rise, and, of course, the U.S. death total is headed in the wrong direction, upwards, spiraling upwards. You got the 60 days. That means right before Christmas, basically. You'd be talking about the end of November or so. McChrystal says, look, the situation in Afghanistan is serious, but it is achievable, the success. And we have to do a revised implementation strategy, the commitment and the resolve, and increased unity of effort. So I think the real thing that McChrystal is saying, we got to have American people on board with this because we need to have the right propaganda. We have to have the right propaganda with the people of Afghanistan. And more importantly, we have to have other countries believing in this because we don't want them to cut and run and say, we helped the Americans. We did what we could. We tried to help the people in Afghanistan, but nobody's ever won in Afghanistan. So we're bailing on you. We love you, but we got to go. And I think that is the real concern because there won't be enough boots on the ground. There already isn't enough boots on the ground in a very wicked place to try to fight with that kind of terrain over there and where things bubble up and where you're talking about the terrorist techniques of how they'll send somebody, much like you saw a little of this in Baghdad, certainly, where you'd send somebody wired up with a bomb and they would just blow up an area. Similar things are happening in Afghanistan. And it was just mid-June when McChrystal took over the command there. So there are more troops that are already going, right? Like 21,000 more. We know that that's going to start to staff up in the next couple of weeks. And you still have the problem of the elections there. Is Hamid Karzai the guy? They've been counting these polling stations. They say about a third of the polling stations are counted. He's got 46% of the vote, so he does have a big lead over the challenger, Abdullah Abdullah. But it still has to happen. It's it was a good point of contention that the elections weren't carried out without some question of voter fraud. So the new strategy, you know what I think the new strategy needs to be? Get out of there as soon as you can. If there's no end game, there has to be an end game, period. Forget the promises. There has to be an end game. If he doesn't have more troops, I mean, if you can't blow these guys out of the water, what is the plan? Got any suggestions? Send them to me, americatonight.net.
Putting together a girls' night out. Want you to come.
Why would I ever want to go out with you? I hate you.
Yeah, I know. I hate you, too. That's the way girls are.
We got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rubes all at the same time?